Thank you for standing by, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Allergy Therapeutics Results 2018 conference call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and 1 from your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. I would like to remind everyone the call is recorded today, Wednesday, the 7th of March, 2018. I would like now to hand over the conference to your speaker, Mr. Manuel Logat. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for coming. This is the presentation for the interim results ending in December 2017, and we'll go straight to the headlines, slide number 4. So, Nick, would you like to present the financial highlights?
Yes. Thanks very much, Manuel. Good morning, everybody. For this first half year, we had sales of $42.2 million. That's up 4.4% on the prior period and 1.3% on a constant currency basis. We had solid growth in our operating profit pre-R&D, which increased 12% to $12.3 million. On the R&D, we've invested $5.9 million. In the period to the end of December, and that compares with $3.8 million in the prior year. We finished the period with a strong cash balance of $25.8 million. I'll hand back to Manuel for the operating highlights.
Thank you, Nick. So going to slide number 5, what we can see from this list of operational highlights is that there's been an intensive activity in terms of development programs. We are moving forward the pipeline at full steam. We have these two late-stage projects, which are the Polynex Quattro, Polynex Quattro Birch and Polynex Quattro Grass. Both studies have completed recruitment. We announced this recently. But very interestingly also, we are starting to move forward and develop the early stage assets, which are Acarovac. That's, as you know, the vaccine for the perennial segment of the market where we have poor presence. Also, the oral vaccine, which is our oral vaccine, and we are getting into this co-development agreement with the CRO Ergomed to do the development that will allow us to register Oralvac under the TAB in Germany, and the peanut project, which is, as all you know, a very exciting project that it's also been moving forward during this semester. If we just review quickly, you know that what our strategy is based. I'm in slide number 7 now. The three pillars are Europe, where we are building a nice, increasingly profitable company, developing the pipeline based on two concepts. One is convenient vaccines. That's core part of our philosophy. And incorporating new technologies. No other competitor has the level of technology that we have in our vaccines. We use adjuvants, we use MCT, we don't use aluminium, we use disruptive technologies in the allergy area like BLP. None others are using these hedge tools to develop better vaccines. And the third pillar, of course, is trying to exploit a very interesting commercial opportunity in the U.S. The dynamics in the U.S. market are more and more pointing towards registered products, and that, in principle, should be for our benefit. So if we review quickly the European strategy in slide number 9, as I said, it's focused on friendly vaccines that we think that the key issue in immunotherapy is adherence, is to be able to that the patients finish the treatments. That's the key issue in immunotherapy, And with our short course concept, I think we have one of the best adherence rates in the field. Probably the most interesting aspect in what's going on in Europe is that the regulation is moving forward too. So we will see that we will dedicate one slide for the PAI process, the ordinance process, but the European legislation towards portfolios of registered vaccines is moving forward. In Germany, is well advanced. In Italy, started this month by AIFA, which is the local regulatory authority. In Spain, probably will start in 2018 too. So all the other countries are starting to put in place similar regulations that the one that we saw in Germany. One constant in our European strategy is to keep investing in our supply chain. It turned out to be one of our best competitive advantage in the light of all the disruption problems we have seen over the last years, and we've not got any problem, and we'll keep investing what's necessary to keep our excellent track record of more than 99% of our vaccines delivered on time and not supply issues. Interestingly also that we are seeing other products developing in the pipeline. As an example, we mentioned here Acarovac Plus, which is the predecessor of Acarovac MPL, and we sell as an inpatient product in Spain and Austria. And Benomil, both are growing very nicely. In fact, our non-pollen vaccines over the last 3 or 4 years have been growing much faster than our pollen vaccines. But we are yet a company heavy weighted on the pollen portfolio. So the Pollinex Quattros, the Pollinex, the TAs, and all these vaccines are that address the seasonal segment of the market, the pollens basically, have a dominant weight in our portfolio. More than 70% of our sales are coming from vaccines related to pollen. But we see this as an opportunity. So this means that we are underrepresented in the perennial segment or other segments like the food allergy area or the immunomodulators, the probiotics, where we still can grow a lot. Okay, so that one we'll skip. You are very familiar with our breakdown by country and by product. If we go to the pipeline, maybe worth spending 1 minute in this slide here regarding the ordinance in Germany. As you know, this started in 2008 very slowly. The first part of this process was to present to the Polar League state-of-the-art CMC dossiers. That took few years. All these dossiers have been reviewed and the PAI have sent back feedback. And now we are in a clinical phase. So now there have been submitted clinical plans and the PAI is reviewing them and giving feedback to the companies. What we can see is that 40% of all the products that were notified have been withdrawn. So I think we're notified 123 products or something like this. So 40% have been withdrawn, and this will yet continue. And we have kept all our notified products in the market. So we've been able to keep all the products, and we expect to keep all the products until the end of the process. We see here the pipeline that it's a very exciting one. We cover all the main aspects of the immunotherapy, which has a very important part on the pollen and the seasonal vaccines, but we are also developing this perennial segment. If you see, well, the ones in blue in slide number 13 are registered. All of them pollens, but the venoms for bee and wasp allergic patients to venoms. This is registered in Germany. And then we see the ones in pink are phase three, whether trees or birds or ragweed. And then we have the phase two, those findings that we are executing now for PQ grass. And we have then the oral bag, where we have trees, grasses, and ragweed also for oral bag. The acarobag one, and the polybag at preclinical stage yet. You have been tracking the study, so nothing to add here in slide number 14. Well, we expect for the PQ birds phase 3 readout in autumn, and if successful, we expect to submit the dossier in 2019. That's going to be the first short course treatment in Europe. If successful, then PQ grass, the dose finding study that will allow us to pick the best dose to go into the final pivotal phase 3, we expect readout early summer probably, and that's been recruited as we announced ahead of the schedule. And Acarobac MPL, it's going okay. We started this year with this phase 1 study based in Spain. With Polybag, maybe only to remind that we have signed this deal with the CMO to produce the vaccine, this recombinant vaccine at industrial scale. The preclinical test that we did was with a pilot vaccine made in the lab, and we are now scaling it up to an industrial scale that will allow us to start studies in humans. If we go to the next slide, in page 16, slide 16, the U.S., well, let's go to the slide number 17. Maybe worth mentioning here that the U.S. opportunity, it's properly supported. It's an opportunity that it's not only about one product. We always talk about Pollinex Quattro grass. But in fact, we have a full portfolio to develop the U.S. market. We still have two INDs in the U.S., which one is for Pollinex Quattro ragweed and the other for Pollinex Quattro trees. That would be the immediate step once we address the Pollinex Quattro grass final stage. We would focus on the other two seasonal vaccines. But then we also have plans to get to take to the U.S. Acarobac and Polybag. So we'll have an outstanding portfolio in the U.S. with proprietary technology. We see as a de-risk opportunity because it's a product that we know very well and we market in Europe successfully. It's not a new chemical entity. It's not a new, and we know how to market these products. We'll have the first mover advantage, so this will allow us to create more awareness and build brand equity around the franchise. Strategic fit for the market. As you know, the tablets have not got significant traction because the U.S. market is an injected market, basically. And it's built on many years of clinical development there, where we have completed 15 clinical trials and already invested more than $100 million. So it's a well-supported opportunity. And the key issue of this evolving opportunity, maybe, is this here, in slide number 18, the adherence that currently is 15%. Only 15% of the patients finish the treatment in the U.S. And that's very frustrating for everybody. It's frustrating for doctors, for patients, for payers, for authorities. And this is where we think we can make a very nice contribution. We can increase dramatically this adherence rate. In our studies, our adherence rate are above 90%. In real life, it's lower than that, but certainly we can improve this significantly. So I'll hand over to Nick to take us through the financial highlights. Yeah.
Thank you, Manuel. Moving to slide 20, this shows the overall P&L for the 6 months ended 31st December 2017. We had sales of 42.2 million. That's up from 40.4 million in the previous year. That's a 4.4% increase. Our gross profit was 33.5 million. That's up from 31.5 million. That's a 6% increase. That shows a gross margin of 79% in the current year, slightly up from the 78% in the prior year. And that really reflects the fact that we've been increasing volumes through the factory in the last 6 months. And that's in order to clear space in the factory for the clinical trials work that will go on in the second half. So we should see the margin slightly dip in the gross margin slightly dip in the second half. Our overheads at 21.4 million were up 4% on the prior period. That's really a reflection about probably about 50% of it is due to FX. If you remember, about 75% of our overheads are actually in euros. And the rest is investment in the supply chain and a bit in marketing and sales. We invested 5.9 million in research and development in the period to the end of December 2017, which was up from 3.8 million in the prior period. And that really reflects, as Manuel's been talking about, with those two critical trials that we've got going on at the moment, the PQ Grass Phase 2 and the PQ Birch Phase 3 trials, as well as additional work on OralVac and PolyVac. We had other income of 0.2 million. That's the R&D tax credit so far achieved this year. And you'll note later on when we come to look at the cash flow, we've had the R&D tax credit from the prior year has been paid now. So we finished the period with a operating profit of 6.4 million, slightly down from the 7.2 million in the prior period, but of course we spent more on research and development in this period. One key metric that we always look at is the operating profit pre-R&D, because that gives us a good measure of how our underlying European business is performing. And there we had a figure of 12.3 million, which was up 12% in the prior period. And that's a strong indicator of one of the things that, as management, we're very keen on, which is to leverage our top-line sales growth. Moving on to slide 21, this shows the breakdown of the sales at a constant rate. As you see, the gross revenue at constant rate was 44.9 million. That's up 1% on the prior period. The rebates were pretty much in line with prior years. Those rebates are rebates that we pay in Germany, which gave us a net revenue at constant rate of 40.9 million. In comparison with the equivalent period in 2017, you'll see the FX impact has only been 1.3 million. That's significantly down from the prior years. You'll remember when the euro moved from about 1.36 down to 1.16. But in these from 2017 to 2018, it's only moved from about an average of 1.16 to 1.13. So obviously the FX impact is smaller. We've had strong sales across Spain and Eastern Europe. As we mentioned, if we look to Northern Europe, we've had an abnormally weak pollen season, and that obviously affected the overall performance if we compare to the growth that we had in the prior period. But most markets have been performing robustly. Manuel talked earlier about the strong growth that we've had in some parts of the portfolio, Venomil and Acaravac Plus, which have performed very well. Acaravac Plus is now our biggest selling product in our Spanish unit. Okay, if we move on to slide 22, this shows the balance sheet at the end of December. The main movements, if you look at the non-current assets, are investments increased 0.6 million to 4.9 million. Just remind you, the investments is actually the investments we have for the pension fund for Germany. In the current assets, overall, the largest movement was in inventories, which moved from 7 million to 8.4 million. As I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the P&L, we've actually pushed through a significant amount of volume through the factory in the first half of the year in order to create space for our clinical trials. So we'll expect that inventory level to drop as we go further through the year. We finished the half year with a strong cash position of 25.8 million, and we've committed publicly before that cash is enough to pay for the ongoing trials that we have at the moment, the Phase 3 Birch trial, the Phase 2 Grass trial, and the Caravac Phase 1, as well as the Phase 3 Grass trial. We finished the period with debt of 3.2 million. That's slightly down from 3.4 million. We've paid off a small amount of it. We do have a seasonal overdraft in place, but that was undrawn through the period. Moving on to slide 23, that shows the cash flow. I think the highlights are really that the net cash used or generated from operations was a positive 4.3 million, down slightly from the 5.5 in the previous period. But I should remind you, we've obviously invested more in research and development in this period to the end of December 17. As I mentioned before, we've had a tax receipt of 0.7 million. That's the R&D tax credits from the prior year that you will have seen in the P&L from the prior year that we've now received through. And as I said, we ended the year with the half year with a strong cash position. Moving on to the summary and outlook, and slide 25. Overall, we had a good solid sales performance with sales growth of 1.3% on a constant rate, and we've increased our market share in Germany from 13% to 14%, which is a strong reflection of the quality of our portfolio and the fact that our ultra-short course patient-friendly treatment is still making significant inroads in the market. So overall, we feel we've delivered against our strategy of the three pillars of growth: the strong European business, which continues to grow well and perform well, the development of our pipeline, and the US development. We have a robust set of financials, and we expect that to continue in the second half. The clinical trials, as Manuel's talked about, will have a readout in the second half of the year, both in the Phase 2 Grass trial and the Phase 3 Birch trial. So overall, we believe 2018 is going to be a pivotal year for us as far as these two key trials are concerned, and also in the future development as we move forward with the peanut. And overall, I'd just like to say we're confident about our future. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any question? Yeah. Right. Well, I think probably the early recruitment, it's been operational efficiencies. The team, we have increased the team, we are doing more studies, and there is a learning curve, so probably we've been more efficient recruiting. The birds, probably we could not have an early recruitment because it's been tough to recruit because of the low pollen season, so less patients were going to the doctors, and therefore the recruitment it's been a little bit tougher. In terms of timings, will not affect timings because we have tried to stretch and try to start the Phase 3 in 2018 following the results of the phase two maybe during the summer. But we really need to have a good end of phase two meeting with the FDA. That has to be properly prepared. We want to be sure that we can have good alignment between Europe and U.S. agencies, because our intention is to have this final phase three that can be used for both applications in Europe and in the U.S. So in order to do this well, we will really need some months. So we are talking probably all these meetings with the European and U.S. agencies will take place between September and November, and then we have to agree on the protocol, so we'll miss the season. So we'll start the phase three in 2019. Was that your question?
More about the timing of whether you would otherwise in a normal expect to run the study through a season and then look at the results at the end of the season, whereas if you're looking at it, if you're getting results in early H2, that's mid summer.
No, I don't understand.
No, it's a question of with the phase two trial that we'll actually get the results in the middle of the pollen season has any bearing. With the CPT, it doesn't have a bearing, does it?
No. Sorry, no. If it interferes with the season, you mean, or?
Yes.
No. The challenge test can be done during the season. Yeah, because you add allergen in the eye, so there is no an additional exposure. You can do in-season studies with, yeah. Sorry, maybe I...
Yeah, that's all right.
And then just on the tab for a second, your market share in Germany, which you is there potentially a read across from the tab for a system where the products have dropped out?
Yeah, it's a combination. There are less products, and therefore the ones that remain get a bigger part of the cake, let's say.
So that percentage point increase, it's more hard to say, but it's how much is tab and how much is your own operational.
It's difficult to say. Difficult. As I said, it's a combination because we don't know exactly all the products that have been removed, and therefore we cannot do the maths per product, per segment, and see, we know that 40% of the products have been removed, but we know some of them, but not all of them. The bio does not inform about that. So it's a combination of good commercial strategies and less products in the market.
Just interested on the US strategy, where you have a number of products already approved in Europe. Why are the sort of first generation polymetrics and the Benamils, why aren't these products that you're prioritizing to put into the US? Presumably it would be a quicker process given the amount of data you already have on them.
Well, when you register, you have to present state-of-the-art data, and the registered products we have in Europe were registered some years ago. So that dossier probably would not fulfill the current requirements for a U.S. or European registration. And this is what we've been doing the trials and updating everything to be able to meet the requirements from the authorities.
So, is there a plan to bring any of the old products in the U.S. at some stage, or are you just going to focus on this new range?
No, basically on the new range of products. Yeah, the Polynex Quattros, and later the Carovac and Polyvac.
With the introduction of the
like over the mid to long term, not only with Polymath but also more widely, given the intense manufacturing nature that you operate currently in the UK? Just the introduction of the CMO from Herald, a new way of thinking about manufacturing over the long term with regards to your wider portfolio of products?
I think it will be driven by the commercial success. If it's very successful, I think it will make sense to build our own manufacturing infrastructure. It's totally different. That's a recombinant. It's synthesized. It's a recombinant allergen that is binded to this VLP structure that it's very difficult to build. So we really needed a specialized CMO. Now, if in 10 years' time the product is a real success, we'll probably look for doing it in-house, but we'll see. So far, we need them because we don't have the knowledge to develop this product in-house.
And also looking more broadly at the portfolio to answer the more general question, I think we'll just have to see, obviously, with our U.S. strategy, if things are successful to get into the U.S. market, there will come a point where our current facility, which is roughly about 50% full, will get to capacity. And at that stage, we will obviously be looking before then. But I think everything is on the table as far as either we build our own facility, we work, you know, use somebody else's facility, a CMO-type arrangement, or a bit of a combination of two. We'll just need to see which makes most sense financially and operationally.
Paul.
Guys, could you just help me with the risk-reward profile on Birch? What are the implications if the trial for plenty of unexpected reasons doesn't hit the primary endpoint? What revenue is it generating? Also, if it does, I mean, what is the potential upside to Birch of market share in Europe? So, yeah, help me with that.
It would be bad news if we would miss the primary endpoint. We would have to understand by how much and what was the underlying cause to see if we can do another study maybe because depends on what happened. If we have identified a cause and we think that it's something that we did wrong, maybe we can fix it and do another study that would imply more investment, probably not loss of sales, but probably more investment. If it's a total failure, then yes, we would have to withdraw from the market, and it would have an impact of not that much, because Birch is not the best-selling product in Germany, but it's quite related to trees also. We have a Polynex 4 trees. And in fact, for example, ALK, the tablet for trees is only birch. So the only allergen in there is birch, and they cover with birch all the tree pollen issues. So if we were going to lose birch and trees, then it would have a significant impact. But I think this is really the worst case scenario. I think, and in terms of upside, I mean, there would be an interesting boost, not dramatically, but more confidence, a better product, and the possibility to register the products in markets that we do not operate now, like Scandinavia or other markets that we have no presence, and there is a lot of birch allergen around.
We'd also have, of course, a complete data set, which in comparison with certain products that have been approved a long time ago, the quality of the data set that's available is not so good. So that will also give us a marketing advantage. But as Manuel said, I think that would be a really extreme result. Obviously, this product is sold on a named patient basis in Germany and is highly successful. So I think the indications are that the feedback from the doctors and the allergists is it's a very effective product. So to fail in a phase 3 trial, I think we'd really have to look at what the root causes of it were.
And what we saw in the phase 2 I mean, there were good hints of good efficacy there in that study, so we don't think too much. Yes.
Just to follow on that point, what would be the route for a PQ birch vaccine in the US? Because I know you've got the tree line.
Well, that's something that we want to discuss with the FDA. Because maybe we would not have to start from scratch, provided that we have the PQ trees there. So we need to discuss this with the U.S. authorities. And we will when we address the... So now the priority is to fix the grass, to have this end of phase two meeting, and agree the way forward. Immediately after that, we expect to have this meeting before October. Immediately after that, we will start talking about ragweed and trees. There is an IND opened, and we want to move it forward, these two projects. And then we'll talk about birch, and we'll see how can we... If there is any route for PQ birch into the U.S., maybe linking it to the tree program.
On the balance sheet, did I hear you correctly? You said the cash you have at the moment will fund you, obviously, to the completion of the phase three in birch and the phase three in grass. Did you also say the phase three in grass?
That's correct, yes.
Assuming certain trial design fits with your expectations and there's no sort of major requirement for new thinking.
Yes, I'll to be clear there, I talk about the phase three grass trial, but that won't include the safety database. So obviously we need to talk to the FDA to fully understand what the requirement of that will be, and that would require further investment for further funds in order to pay for that safety database and so on.
Manuel, just on the TAB process, when a product fails a clinical trial, gets withdrawn, does it have to be withdrawn from the TAB process? Does it then have to be immediately withdrawn from the market?
It's negotiated with the Polar League. And I assume we have not had to negotiate this, but we know that, for example, one product that has been asked to be removed, the Polar League allowed them to keep it in the market for 2 more years to complete the treatments of the patients that were already in, because probably showed some efficacy, and therefore, well, maybe was not the level required, but provided that there was some efficacy, the patients under treatment were allowed to finish. I imagine if it's zero, I mean, if active is equal to placebo, zero efficacy, maybe you just remove it immediately. But we don't know. That's discussed. I mean, the answer is no. It's not automatic. Depends on if you have missed the primary endpoint by how much, and then you negotiate with the PAI the withdrawal.
The products that are being withdrawn from the market, do you think that... do you believe that is due to a failed clinical trial, or they just can't afford to fund the trials needed to go for a full...
There was an initial group that was based on CMC, so quality requirements, because the PAI ordinance is not only about clinicals, it's also about standardization and stretching all the specifications. So before the PAI ordinance, let's say you had a range of, the specs were very broad. So, but when we started this regulation, the specs were narrowed significantly. So, for example, you had to demonstrate to get batch release that the content of protein of your vaccine was, let's say, so to speak, 100 plus minus a small range. And before that, the range was very broad. So some products could not fulfill this kind of requirements. That was the first group, and now it's the second group. It's about clinicals. Yeah.
And Nick, I'm going to start. I was understood, and maybe that was wrong, that you couldn't get R&D tax credits because you have a big owner in Abbott Laboratories, and they were applying for tax credit. Has something changed? I mean, obviously, Abbott's activities have changed, so does that mean you are now allowed to apply more and more for tax credits?
You're correct in the sense of there's an upper level and a lower level, and if Abbott was a smaller shareholder, I think it's below a 25% threshold, we would be able to claim more R&D tax credits. So we are restricted, but we can still claim them. But there are obviously quite a few complex rules about the type of expenditure that you can claim R&D tax credits on, which limits it down, obviously, relative to the amount we're spending. It is a relatively small amount, although still reasonable.
But you're obviously far more efficient than in the past in getting this credit.
Well, we've had some help from a consultant. We haven't done it all on our own. Yes, I think it was one area where we've looked at. We thought there's great potential for it, and we've gone after it. So.
Assuming PQ Birch is successful in phase 3 and you get an approval for that product, what do you expect would happen to your current sales of your birch and tree vaccines, named patient and the old pollen export? Would there be much transfer to the new birch vaccine?
Well, the old birch in Europe, I mean in Germany, will be removed.
Okay.
The old one, I mean the current one. Because it will be superseded by this new product, and we are working on that. We are going to launch it under a different brand, and it's going to be marketed as a different product because it will be different in the end. So it's not going to be the new upgraded. Polynex Quattro is going to be a new product, and we will characterize it and we will market it accordingly. So there will be markets in Europe that will still market PQ Birch as it is, and Germany will be the first market to launch this new product.
And would you be able to set a radically different price for the new product compared to the previous?
Not radically. Well, we would like to have a better price. We'll see if we can get it. By default, we are thinking about the same in our projections. But of course, if we have the opportunity to improve it, we will. But it's not gonna be something dramatic. We don't want to be to substitute these products by double the price. I think that would harm the long-term strategy of the company. Maybe something in the order of 10 to 20 would be...
Yeah, so is there any sort of reference pricing framework that would impact what you could ultimately generate out?
Well, we are looking at that. There is, there is new law in Germany, the AMNOC. We are not sure yet if we apply for this process. So because we are in a different category, so maybe we just launch the vaccine at the price we ask for. But as I said, we don't want to double the price. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Any question from the phone?
No questions so far, but as a reminder for everyone, if anyone wishes to ask a question, you can now press *1 from your telephone keypad. Once again, for any question over the phone, that is *1 from your telephone keypad. Thank you. Please stand by as we wait for the others to press for a question.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks very much.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect. Thank you all for participating.